Well, good morning, church. It's great to be here with you again today. Reflecting about our sermon this past week, or this coming week, every generation has its special slang words, right? The words that kind of represent the generation. And, I remember my parents questioning why I would call something bad if it was good. A conversation at home might have gone like this back when I was a teenager. Teenage me would say, well, that movie last night was bad. My parents would say, so you didn't like it? I'd say, no, it was really sick. So you need to go to the doctor? It was a good movie. That's all I was trying to communicate. But my parents didn't get it. Well, I'm a parent now, and my teenage daughter has her own style of lingo. A lot of them are simply letters because it's texting, and one of the things I learned this past week was if you're online and you see the letters T-I-L, it means today I learned. So today, if you see something on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, people are doing, T-I-L, and they say what they say something, it's like, oh, today I learned this. This past week, one of those things I could have said was T-I-L. Wednesday, we were having staff meeting, and Brett was going to be a little bit late, so he texted us, and he says, hey, I'm at Brecky, I'll be late. And so today I learned that Brecky, in young people vernacular today, is breakfast. It makes no sense to me, but it does to him. But something else I learned this past week was that the letters ZIP and zip code actually stand for something. Does anybody here know what ZIP stands for? You do?
No, he doesn't.
Spoken as only an older sister could speak, right? I did not know this. Nobody in first service knew it either. And but the acronym ZIP stands for Zoning Improvement Plan. Zoning Improvement Plan. And zip codes began in 1963, and it was to help the post office to speed the delivery of the mail. Under the old system, it would take 17 sorting stops in order for a letter to get to where it needed to go. And this new ZIP system made the process a lot quicker, right? Knowing where the mail was to go made life a lot simpler and easier for the post office. Knowing the mail's purpose, right, where it was going to go, brought clarity. Something that was sent to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, wouldn't wind up in Pittsburgh, California, or Pittsburgh, Florida, or Pittsburgh, New Hampshire, or in any one of the other 33 Pittsburghs in the United States. It does have something to do with the sermon. I'm going to get there. So, for the last 2 weeks, Pastor John and I have been talking we've been preaching through this series called Moving Forward. And 2 weeks ago, we read from Philippians chapter 3, and we said that if we were going to move forward in 2003, that we needed to forget what was behind and press forward into what God has for us this year. That looking backwards, remembering our past, does absolutely nothing for us, right? That has been forgiven. It's been forgiven by Jesus. And so why would we look backwards? Then last week we talked about God's heart, and that if we're going to press into anything else this year, what better thing than to press into the very heart of God? And we were reminded that our heart can lead us astray, where our heart says, follow me, whereas God's heart says, follow mine. Now this week we're going to be unpacking Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13, and hopefully this will bring some clarity. See, that's the tie-in. It'll bring some clarity to our purpose, why we are here. And so let's jump in by reading Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13. The gifts that he gave, the gifts that Jesus gave, were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to maturity, to the full measure, to the measure of the full stature of Christ, the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So now when I read that, as I was preparing this week, the questions just jumped out off the page to me. And there are three, I think, important questions that are raised by this passage. And the first question that I saw was, what did Jesus give that would bring clarity to our purpose? To which Paul says this, the gifts that he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Right, so to clarify how we might press into our calling, we are given spiritual gifts. Right? We have been blessed to be a blessing. And simply stated, when Jesus gives to us our spiritual gifts, and these gifts help us to discern our calling. You know, the listing in our passage today is not the full and complete list. The scripture shares multiple lists in Romans and 1 Corinthians, Ephesians, and 1 Peter. And there's a lot of debates on how many spiritual gifts they are and what exactly they are. We're not going to be getting into that today. But what we will say is that every gift from God is special and important. Right? We are created by God, and God loves us. And by acknowledging our spiritual gifts from God, we are glorifying Him. You know, each gift has the ability to draw us into a greater relationship with the Lord. You know, God's people are like the many parts of a body. And each one of these parts in our body work together. And even though there are many people in the world, we can all work together to share His love and His glory. You know, one part of the body is not greater than another. And so the very first step in understanding our calling, to gain that clarity of our calling, is to know that each and every one of us has a purpose and that we are gifted by God. So the second question I saw when I was reading this was, why did Jesus give these gifts? And Paul goes on to say in Ephesians 4, the gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And here's the why, right? To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. And the spiritual gifts are given to the saints of the church to build up the church, to share His message, and to glorify God. And Paul shares in Scripture that there are a multitude of gifts. Now let's talk about who the saints are. Right? Who exactly are the saints? Who's being referred to? Who are these gifts been given to? Now, the New Testament uses the word saint or saints 67 times. And in each instance, the reference is to believers and not to a special group of folks who serve God better than others. Christians are saints by virtue of their connection to Jesus Christ. You know, we are called the saints. We are called to increasingly allow our daily lives to more closely match our position in Christ. And if you know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, you are a saint. And so these gifts that are given to us by Jesus are gifts given to us by the Holy Spirit. You know, one person may have the gift of faith, another person may have the gift of healing, somebody else might have the gift of prayer or hospitality or helps. You know, any number of ones that are listed in Scripture. These gifts, however, are not given to us for our glory. They are not given so that it can point back to us. The point of the gifts, the purpose of the gifts, is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. You know, one of my favorite examples of within this last year of God's people using their gifts for the work of ministry is Makers Camp. Now, Makers Camp, if you aren't aware of what that is, Makers Camp was dreamt up by Vicki Caldwell last year. And what it does is that it invites 5th through 8th grade students into our church for 3 full days. And when I say 3 full days, I'm talking about 3 full days, like 9 to 4. They were big, long days. And each day, the students that come have options to learn skills like cooking and sewing and woodworking and bike repair. There was a group that was doing PVC pipe fitting. I'm not even sure what you call that. They were making they were doing PVC pipe fitting. In fact, Kurt Scott this past week told us in staff meeting that, because his son Caleb was in that group, something broke at the house that was PVC pipe, and Caleb told him every step of the way on how to repair that problem. And Caleb was paying attention. During that week, I literally walked up to the garage, and I walked in the garage, and I see Ferg Bender with five girls from fifth to eighth grade, five female students, welding. It just blew my mind. Not what I was expecting to see, but how cool that was, that they're learning that they can do something. And I had never picked up anything welding-esque in my life. Ferg did let me play a little bit, so I did get to do a little bit of that. But then each day we had devotions and we shared Bible passages. You know, those students learned that week. They were learning life skills. They were learning things that can help them in life, but they were learning that they were welcome and wanted at church. You know, we were equipping them to do good work. But it was more than that, because the adults who came out and helped that week had a blast. In fact, there were adults that week who took vacation to come and hang out with the students all week, because it was important both to God and to them. It's easy for us to think, you know, when you think about gifts, like, oh, preaching. Preaching is a gift. And so that's what, you know, unless it's preaching, it really doesn't matter. But all of these people, you know, I'm not a woodworker. And so those folks who knew how to do woodworking were blessing those students, and sewing and cooking and so on. They were using their gifts for the building up of the church and equipping saints for ministry. You know, do you recognize your gifts? Do you know where you are gifted? You know, maybe you have the gift of service or of helping. How can you use that gift to equip others? How can you use that gift for the kingdom of God? Can you teach? Can you pray? You know, we have a couple of people, or every week we have people who come and welcome folks to our church. They stand out there in the cold and in the heat, and they welcome. They have the gift of hospitality. They want people to feel welcome and comfortable. You know, they can use that gift to honor Jesus. And do you have the gift of prayer? Do you have the gift of teaching? You know, use these gifts to honor Jesus. And so pray about your spiritual giftedness. Ask God to help you recognize the special gift that he's given to you. Ask God to help you to use your spiritual gifts to lead others to him. Right, and so we started off by looking at what did Jesus give to help us bring clarity to what we might be doing this year, how we can press forward, what our purpose is. And then Jesus gave us spiritual gifts. And we just talked about why. Why did Jesus give us these spiritual gifts? And he gave them to the saints to build the kingdom of God for kingdom use. We are given these gifts to equip and to build up the saints for ministry. And so that brings us to the how. Right? Number three, how are the gifts given to us by Jesus used? To which Paul says this. Right, they're given to the saints, the apostles, teachers, until all of us come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. And so let's break those things down. Right, we're the why or the how, unity of faith. Now, Paul does not command a structural or organizational unity, right? He doesn't call us all to be Methodists, right? We've got Methodists, we've got Presbyterians, we've got Baptists, Catholics, Episcopalians, Independents. God didn't say, okay, you all got to be under the same brand name. It's not what he said. He asks us to have unity around a common faith. You know, John Wesley, like many others before him, had said this. He said, in essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. And in all things, charity. Right? What's essential to us? You know, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. Right? The exclusivity of Jesus Christ. Like, that is a hill worth dying upon. Worship services, worship styles, they are not essentials. Right? In Concord, we've got traditional worship. We've got contemporary worship. There's a church up in Butler that does country western worship. That blows my mind. You know, that's not a style of worship that I would be interested in, but I know people are. And so they go there. Worship styles are not essential. They're non-essential. And so what we're called, when we build up the saints, when we equip the saints, we are built up in the unity in our essentials and nothing else. Another one of the results or the ramifications of doing all this is to the knowledge of the Son of God, Paul says. And what this means is that when the gifted work right, and the saints are properly equipped, Christian maturity increases. And there is a greater intimacy in the experience of God. So when the saints of Concord use their gifts and equip the saints, they build up the ministry, we grow in maturity. You know, we grow in the knowledge of the Son of God. And then that last part, it says, you know, the how part or the result is to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. You know, Paul writes this in 1 Corinthians 13. He said that when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. You know, as we grow, we change. You know, one of the classes that I teach in Western Pennsylvania with my other role with the annual conference, I talk about Sophia and how she has grown. You know, I remember when Sophia was young and I could hold her and feed her with a bottle. And, you know, I'm holding my baby and I'm feeding her and she's looking up at me and I'm looking down at her, you know, and everything is right with the world. And Sophia grew. She no longer drank from a bottle, but she had a sippy cup, but I could still hold her. So I would hold her, she'd hold her sippy cup, she'd look up at me, and I would look down at her, and everything was right with the world. Well, now Sophia's learning to drive and planning college visits. My baby's growing up. But you know, it's healthy and it's right. Because as much as I loved baby Sophia, I also love the woman that she is becoming. It's more than simply growing up age-wise. It's growing up, it's maturing into the measure of Jesus Christ. That as we grow up, we're called to imitate Jesus in word and deed. And so this is how the gifts are used, this is what happens when the saints of God use their gifts. People grow up and they look and act and talk like Jesus. And Pastor John and I, when we were planning this series together, he made a statement that I thought was pretty profound. And he said, no one is called to be nothing. No one is called to be nothing. That each and every one of us have a part to play. Each and every one of us, God wants to use for his kingdom's purpose. And so let's not waste this moment that we have been given. You know, how are we to move forward in 2023? We have been given spiritual gifts to clarify our purpose, because God wants to use those gifts to build up the church, to equip the saints, so that we can be unified and so that we can measure up to Jesus. Yeah, that is something we can move forward together in. Just imagine what happens when we do exactly that. Imagine the lives that will be changed. Imagine the people that will be saved. Because we use what God has given to us for His glory. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we are grateful for your word to us, and we are grateful, Lord, for the challenge that it can often bring. And so, Lord, we pray that we would not simply sit on our gifts, but that we would use our gifts. That we would use our gifts so that the church would be built up, so that the saints would be equipped, so that the world may know that Jesus Christ loves them and died for them and wants to be in a relationship with them. You know, Lord, here we are. Please use us. Use us as you see fit. We pray all this, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Amen. No one is called to do nothing. You know, each and every one of us have been created by God. Each and every one of us has been wooed into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Each and every one of us has been told to, you know, go and make disciples. Each and every one of us is a part of God's plan. Each and every one of us has been equipped for our part in God's plan. Now let's go. Let's move forward into 2023. Let's be a people who simply say to God every single day, Lord, here I am. Please use me. Use me as you see fit. Use me for your glory. Use me for your kingdom's sake. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for loving us so very much. Thank you for equipping us. Thank you for sending us. Jesus, we pray for the courage to step into that faith and that trust. Jesus, we long to live into what you have asked us to be. Thank you in all of this, dear God, we pray. Amen. Amen.